Thank you very much. As you said, I'm Ernest Clausen. I work for the LSU Ag Center at the Northeast Research Station in St. Joseph. And I'm going to talk about some results that we've gotten from a study that we initiated because of the institution of the Malic III soil tests in that area. I'd like to recognize my co-authors, which are Rick Miscagney, Jim Wang, Brenda Tabania, and my research associate, Josh Price. Okay, for a number of years, our fertilizer recommendations for phosphorus in Louisiana were based on the Bray II soil test. But the current test for soil phosphorus is the Malic III, and that was changed, I think it was near 2005, and it was done without any previous calibration data on the Malic III for phosphorus in the state. And so I've included here a few examples of some soil critical levels from states that are relatively close to us. For Arkansas cotton, it's 35 parts per million. Oklahoma, 33 parts per million. In North Carolina, 54 parts per million, as reported in Hanlon and Savoy. And because there were no direct calibrations of the Malic III for our state, what was done is they took soil samples and they ran both the Bray II test and the Malic III and compared the results and tried to develop a relationship to where you could translate the Malic III results back to a Bray II equivalent and then do the recommendation. And that was okay, but with all the different soils in the state, there were some problems on apparently some of our soils in the Northeast. On our Commerce silt loam, if we took a sample that was measuring high or very high on the Bray II test, and then we ran it on the Malic III and converted it back, it would be low or very low in phosphorus with the new method. And these are soils that had not in the past needed phosphorus fertilizer and hadn't shown any apparent signs of phosphorus deficiency. So after a lot of discussion of the issue, we decided that the best way to approach it was not to try to refine that relationship for different soil types, but to go ahead and try to directly calibrate the Malic III soil phosphorus to crop responses. And so that's the objective of this current study, is to do that. Kind of a secondary thing that we did is also compared some Bray II and Malic on some of the samples that we had, just to look at the relationship of that a little bit closer. This outlines the experiment that we've conducted so far. It's been done for 2 years, and each year it's been conducted in two sites. In both cases, it's a randomized complete block of 10 treatments. Site one had cotton in 2007, and then corn in 2008. Site two had corn in 2007 and cotton in 2008. We have 10 treatments, as I mentioned. The first five treatments are 0, 30, 60, 90, and 120 pounds of phosphorus per P2O5 per acre. And treatments 6 through 10 were left unfertilized with phosphorus. Those were reserved for treatments to be applied in 2008. And as you can see, if you go down to the, see if I can get my pointer. If you go down to 2008, those first five treatments were not treated with phosphorus, but we did go ahead and place phosphorus rates in treatment 6 through 10. So on site two, it was corn in 2007, and then the cotton in 2008. So that responded to, or that was an examination of the treatments that were applied in the previous year, as well as those that were applied in 2008 in that case. And this presentation will only focus on the cotton results. A little bit about our soil. Both sites had a Commerce silt loam, and both were relatively low in organic matter, 0.8 and 0.9%. The pH of site one was 5.6, ranging from 5.1 to 6.1. This was only from check plots, so it wasn't quite all of the plots in this case. For site number two, the pH averaged 5.8. It ranged all the way from 4.7 to 6.5 in samples from each individual plot. The texture in site one was generally light, relatively sandy texture, particularly in the final rep of that test. And in site two, we had quite a difference in texture across our replications. The first three replications were very fine sandy loam. The fourth replication was a silt loam. And the fifth replication was a silty clay loam. And a few plots there even tested out as a silty clay. And this is how we applied our treatments and did our other practices. We had fertilizer treatments were applied by hand using triple superphosphate. 2007, treatments were applied by hand on the 20th of April. They were incorporated on the same day, and Delta Pine 555 was planted the same day. We didn't get any soil samples before we put out the fertilizer treatments in that year, so we went in June the 14th, and we sampled our one check plot per rep to a depth of 6 inches to get us a baseline. And after the season, we also sampled all the fertilized treatments, and we had 6 of those unfertilized treatments in that year. We sampled 2 of those per replication as well, and we got 2 depths, 0 to 6 inches and 6 to 12 inches. And in 2008, we followed a very similar program. We had fertilizer treatments and incorporation both on 1st of May. We planted on the 8th of May, and we took soil samples from every plot from both depths, both before we put out the fertilizer and after we harvested the crop. Okay, this is the check plot samples that were taken on the 14th of June in 2007. And we targeted these sites because they were light textured for the most part, and we wanted to find one that wouldn't have the best chance of showing a deficiency in phosphorus. And as we had hoped, our Malic 3 values were quite low when you compare to the critical values of some of the areas around about Louisiana. The Bray 2 values were fairly high. If I'm remembering that right, those thresholds would be above a level where you would need fertilizer on the Bray. And this is the postseason soil samples broken out by the phosphorus treatment. This has not been analyzed statistically in this case, but there was apparently a numeric trend of slightly lower parts per million of Malic 3 phosphorus in the 0 pounds per acre P2O5 treatment, at least in the 0 to 6 inch depth. The high level at the 60 pound rate seems a little bit anomalous when you look at the 90 pound and 120 pound rates. I don't have a good explanation for that. It did show up also in the 6 to 12 inch depth. And there were, other than that, there were very little responses in the 6 to 12 inch. These are our lint yields. Those first 6 bars under the 0, those are all the different check plots. And you can see there was some variability in the yields by treatment. However, there are no significant differences whatsoever. The p-value is actually 0.8. 80%, so pretty high. And the fertilized treatments, the 90 pounds seemed to yield numerically slightly higher than the others, but it wasn't anything meaningful. Breaking it out by individual plot, for all the plots for which we had a soil sample, which includes 2 of the 0 treatments per replication, there was very little response or very little correlation between lint yield and the Malic 3 as it was measured after the season. The same thing held true at the 6 to 12 inch depth. You could make an argument that there was a slight decrease in yield with the higher Malic 3, but a very weak relationship. Okay, so these are the 2008 results. Just as a reminder, the 2008 cotton included treatments that were applied in 2007 and treatments that were applied in 2008, which were the bottom 5 on the screen there. These are the preseason soil samples taken before fertilization, before the 2008 fertilizer. There were no significant differences at either depth in the amount of Malic 3 phosphorus. The range did appear to be as we expected. There was more phosphorus in the upper 6 inches than there was in the 6 to 12 inch depth. A looking at the postseason soil samples, in this case, there was a p-value of 0.09 for the 0 to 6 inches. I haven't separated the treatments because I was using a 5% significance level. But those trends that you see there where there's a slight increase going from 0 to 120, both in response to the 2007 treatments and in response to the 2008 treatments. Let's see if I can point that out. This trend here and that one, those are probably meaningful at a 10% level. That was not the case at the 6 to 12 inches. These levels actually seem to be a little bit lower than they were as measured in the spring, and they were did not approach significance. And this is one of the cases where we also measured the Bray 2 phosphorus. And here again, the 0 to 6 inches was a 0.06 p-value, very close to significance, and there was just a slight trend toward higher Bray 2 phosphorus with greater phosphorus rate from 2007. The same thing, although less consistent with the rates that were applied in 2008. It was interesting to me that there was less of a contrast between the depths when you use the Bray 2 test than there was with the Malic 3. These are the lint yields from 2008. These were affected by some of the tropical storms that we had moved through the area, and we had quite a high CV, as you can see, 17%. None of the differences were significant, although there was some variability out there. I've broken it out by 2007 and 2008 rates, but these were yields that were, each of these yields was harvested in 2008. And really the only variability was in the 0 and 30 pound rates. If those were applied in 2007, they seemed to be numerically a little bit higher. If they were applied in 2008, a little bit lower. My feeling is that was just induced variability from external factors and was not anything to do with our treatments. On an individual plot basis, comparing our lint yields with the Malic 3 values for each individual plot, this is our check plots and the pre-season values of the Malic 3 test. And there is very little relationship between those values and the lint yield that was obtained from each one. And the same thing was also true for a 6 to 12 inch depth. Looking at the post-season Malic 3 values, you can see these separated out into two clouds. The higher Malic values, close to 40 parts per million, were generally taken from the fifth replication where the texture was a little bit heavier. The lower ones were from the sandy replications. But either way, there was very little relationship between the lint yield and the Malic 3 value for individual plots. Looking at the 6 to 12 inch depth, it's a little bit more of a pattern to it. You could almost say that there was some slight curvature. What appeared to happen is at these low values, 10 and less parts per million, that was very common at the lower depth. And so most of the plots were in that range, and with the variability that we had in yields, I think we had some that were unusually high and some that were unusually low in that area. The Bray 2 results again showed very little response or very little relationship to lint yield. And at the 6 to 12 inch depth, that was also true, possibly a slight increasing response, but nothing very strong. And that was as expected. The Bray 2 criteria that we had from before would not have told us to put out phosphorus fertilizer on this field. This is a comparison of the relationship between the Malic 3 and the Bray 2 tests for individual samples. There is a fairly good relationship with the Malic 3 parts per million samples that were lower in value with the Bray 2 test, and almost a separate relationship for that fifth rep where there was a heavier texture. And that's one of the problems that we had with trying to relate the Malic 3 results back to the Bray and then interpret them is soil texture appeared to make a really big difference. And the results at the 6 to 12 inch depth were similar, although we had fewer of the Malic 3 samples that were high. So to summarize, so far in our study, we've had very little response of lint yield to added phosphorus, or no response, really. Lint yield has had very little relationship to the preseason or the postseason Mehle-3 values or Bray-2 phosphorus at either sample depth. So it appears that on this soil, phosphorus was not yield limiting, and our Mehle-3 phosphorus critical levels for cotton on this soil may be quite low. And if that's the case, we'll have a difficult time finding a soil in the state, I think, which can be lower than these, because we've been looking around and haven't found much lower. But with that, I'd like to conclude, and I'd be glad to try to answer any questions if there's time.
We have time for questions.
Yes, sir.
Has anybody on those particular soils looked at the composition of the phosphorus, whether it's mostly calcium phosphates, iron phosphates, aluminum phosphates? I mean, there seems to be that last slide you showed, there was a pocket of soils up there that fit in one category that because they're separated totally away, it just gives to me some indication that there might be quite a bit of variation in the types of phosphorus there. I know Bray-2 is a real strong acid extraction.
I'm not aware of anyone who has, so that doesn't mean it hasn't been done. There was some pH differences that corresponded to the texture differences there, with the parts of the field that had more clay also being higher in pH. If you remember, that one ranged from 4.7 to 6.5. And so there could be something along those lines. Most of the soil was not in as Dr. Norton showed with that phosphorus availability slide, not in a range where you would expect to have large amounts of phosphorus tied up, particularly in calcium. I don't think that would probably be it, but possibly some aluminum in the sandy parts. Yes, sir.
Is it ICP or colorimetric?
I'm not even sure of the results. I sent them down to one of my collaborators, and they ran them. I should have asked them that question. But.
Another comment I would make is impact degree between 3 and 12, and it is the good results in the short term, too. It's a couple sites can be a lot of data real quick. It's not really going to happen. One suggestion is to grow rye or wheat in the winter. It's a lot more sensitive to crops. You can see if you're getting deficiency there, a lot of sooner you put on cotton.
Okay. Right, and I think a lot of the yield. Yeah. Right, and we're going to continue the study, but the yields are not. The yield was affected by the weather pretty severely. If it hadn't been such a late variety and the late planting date, it would have been probably around 500 pounds per acre. Some of our other tests were that way, but appreciate your comments.
Any other questions? So why do you, the one slide notice, even at the real high phosphorus rates, you weren't picking it up at the end of the year in the soil test at all?
Yeah, very little.
Do you think it goes back to what Wayne was asking about? Is it's getting tied up so much it's not being picked up in that test? Is that what you think?
It's possible. I've thought about that, and maybe something we need to look in a little bit closer to what's going on when we put it out.
Okay. All right, let's give Ernest a hand.